Jason Uncensored.
You're making this space uncomfortable. But you're white. Do you understand what a multicultural space? It means you're not being centered.
White's not a culture?
No, it's not a culture. It's white is not a culture. Say it again to the camera. You think whiteness is a culture?
Hi guys, CJ Pearson here. Welcome to CJ Pearson Uncensored. Happy, happy Friday. I hope your week has been going well. It's been a busy week over here. School is just getting busier, especially as we get towards the midterms. And of course, you know, going to University of Alabama, we don't have the shabbiest football team. So it's been a fun past month getting to go out and going to the football games, going to full stadiums, and just really getting to have like that normal college experience that I feel like we just didn't at all get last year when I was a freshman, I was first starting my college career. So that's been an incredible thing. So great. And, you know, what's also been interesting, and you've probably seen this all over the internet, it's been hard to miss, is the amount of just hate that Joe Biden has been getting in these full stadiums, right? Like, I feel like every game I've gone to here in Tuscaloosa and Bama, it has not been a game day that has gone by where you don't hear F Joe Biden chanted by the entire student section. It's absolutely the most hilarious thing. And it's, you know, some people I see, they're like, oh, it's vulgar. Yeah, here's the deal, whatever. You know, when Joe Biden does the things to the American people, does things to his country, to this country that he's done, I think you have the leeway to get a little bit vulgar. You have the leeway to say a few things with your chest that maybe you otherwise wouldn't say. You know, because I'm not going to sit here and say that we need to be polite to a man whose incompetence cost us the lives of 13 brave men and women who serve our country and our armed forces in Afghanistan. I'm not going to sit here and say that the American people need to be polite anymore to a man who has shown that he's willing to go after people in our military who have criticized him or who dare to criticize him because of his ineffective leadership and blatant and flagrant incompetence. So, you know, this entire idea of respectability politics and all this need for politeness, I've got to say, I'm a little bit past that point. These people hate America. They have shown through their actions time and again that they hate America. And so we can sit here and parse around the issue and pussyfoot around the issue. At the end of the day, I think people have every right to be angry. People have every right to be upset. And you're seeing that all across the country. It's not just happening in Alabama. It's happening at Penn State. It's happening at, like, literally universities all across the country. And it's happening by young people, guys. These chants aren't just happening, like, in the general seats. They're happening in the student sections across the country. Young people are waking up. They're sick and tired of being lied to. They're sick and tired of being told that this president, that Joe Biden, is the saving grace that America needed when they had a president and Donald Trump that got the job done. But for years, they were told that he was a racist. He was a white supremacist. And maybe some of them even believed it for a little bit because they were so inundated with these lies, these manufactured narratives about what the president, about what Donald Trump was by the media, that they were misled. But now they've woken up because they realize that, like, when Donald Trump was in office, they weren't paying $4 for gas. When Donald Trump was in office, we weren't getting bullied on the world stage. When Donald Trump was in office, things were a lot better. You know, you didn't have restaurants having to close down, not because there were no business, not because there weren't any people eager to eat at their restaurant, but because there simply aren't enough people willing to work. Because Joe Biden's America makes it more profitable to sit on your ass and actually go and get a damn job. That is where we're at as a country right now. But even with the turning tide happening on our college campuses today, and we see it, of course, in these games that I just mentioned, there also are still a lot of unsettling things happening on our college campuses. Things that honestly make you really think, like, what in the hell is going on? Like, you read these stories about some of these things that are happening on these campuses, and you're just like, this can't be real life. It's like, I thought it was 2021. I thought we were moving forward, not backwards. But then you read these stories, and you're like, well, I'll be damned. Like, seriously, people tell me these things, and I'm going to talk about this. This is really what this episode is going to be all about. Of course, many of you have probably seen the video that came out of Arizona State with the entire safe space thing. We'll roll out audio, later. But then there's also this instance now at the University of Washington where they literally have made dedicated student housing exclusively for Black students. Like, is that not segregation? Is that not the very thing that folks like Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks literally dedicated their lives to fighting against? Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, the left is the left. This is what they do. They obfuscate, they lie, they pretend, and they divide. They divide. Because they realize that the only power they have is found in division. If they can't divide us by socioeconomic status, by race, by the color of our skin, they can't win. If they can't make you hate your neighbor, they can't make you angry enough to support their godforsaken policies that have never done a single thing for anybody of any color. Because here's the deal. They want to pretend that they're doing something for Black people when they make these segregated housing and they create these safe spaces for Black students or whatever. But what have they actually ever done for Black people? Again, seriously, ask a Black Democrat what was the last thing Democrats have ever done for them. They never are able to answer that question. Because whenever they come for me on Twitter, online, or even in person, I'm like, all right, you're mad that I'm a Republican. You're mad that I like Donald Trump. You're mad that I'm a conservative. Okay, that's fine. You have every right to be. You have every right to have your opinions and have your beliefs. But I also have a question. What have Democrats done for you? What have they done to make your life better, your life easier, put you in a better position than you would otherwise be in if a Republican were in office? Because when I think about what Democrats have done for Black people, my list is a lot more depressing. It's not about economic opportunity. It's not about job creation. It's not about job growth. It's about segregation. It's about slavery. It's about the KKK. It's about Jim Crow. Those were institutions that Democrats created to subjugate and keep Black people on their knees. Those are Democrat creations. Those are what Democrats did to Black people. It wasn't give us a job. It wasn't give us a hand up. It was literally, perpetually, and time and again, screw us over and come every single election year and say, but we still love you. And yet for some reason, we come back to them and we say, well, maybe they won't do it again. But they do it again and again and again. And each time, every election cycle, we come back more and more forgiving. And we say, well, maybe they just won't do it again. But they do it again and again and again. And then they do all this pretending. The thing that they're doing on these college campuses right now that we're going to talk about. They create these safe spaces. They create these segregated housing. And they hail them as accomplishments. But then again, I pose the question, just one more time. How in the hell does that do a damn thing for people that look like me? That's an answer that you'll never get. We'll be right back. Welcome back, my friends. So, this article was in Fox News, and you guys have probably all seen this video, and I'll just kind of skim over the Fox News article for those of you who haven't. But this was an incident that happened, I think, this past week, six days ago, over in, in Arizona. So basically, there's this guy, two guys, actually. They're sitting in this multicultural study room or whatever. Whatever. They're just sitting there studying, doing their homework, whatever. And one of the guys has a sticker on his laptop that says Police Lives Matter. Now, this upset this girl, I guess, who was there in that multicultural study center, who approached him and said, you know, this is literally, you know, you're literally racist. You know, this is, you know, and the dialogue is interesting. So she says, you're white. Do you understand what a multicultural space is? It means you're not being centered. And then the guy replied, white's not a culture. And then she says, white is not a culture. Say it again to the camera. You think whiteness is a culture. And so she goes on to go in this crazy little monologue. It was like, this is the violence that ASU does, and this is the type of people that they protect. Okay, this white man thinks that he can take up our space, and this is why we need a multicultural space, because they think they can get away with this shit, she said. The student continues, appearing to refer to Arizona State University. Now, ASU then told Fox News later that they were made aware of the video. The dean's of students' office is aware of the disagreement between a handful of students that was captured in a video circulated on social media. The dean's of students' office were discussing it with all involved. ASU is a community of more than 100,000 people from all 50 states and more than 150 countries. Differences of opinion are a part of that university experience. The university expects respectful dialogue between students in all engagements. Now, I hope that they mean what they say in that statement, right? Because I think that last part is critical here. The university expects respectful dialogue between students and all engagement. And for all of you who've watched this video, and if you haven't, Google it, find it. It's very important that you do see it. The only people that were getting hostile or aggressive were these two black girls who pulled up on these kids and were like, F you for being in this room. Like, you're literally wearing a Police Lives Matter sticker or whatever. And that's like, that's bad. You're committing quote-unquote violence against me. So because, you know, she had a Black Lives Matter sticker on from what I believe he said in that video. And, you know, when he had the Police Lives Matter sticker on, like, the only people that were being hostile about any disagreement were the girls who approached them. That guy didn't start any dialogue with these girls. He was just simply doing his homework. As you can see in the video, and this girl rolls up on him and starts creating all this issue. Now, of course, she goes on to talk about the cigarette and she says all this BS. She calls him racist, of course, because of course she would. You are racist. Your sticker is racist because police. That's a job. You can choose to be a police. I don't choose to be black. You can choose to be a cop. You can choose to kill someone with a badge and you're protecting that shit, which means that you're racist, is what she said. So she's saying that we just don't need police. Now, I guarantee you that this woman will probably call the police at least one point. That's what's always funny about this stuff. It's like no one, like they make this argument and it's just like when they're up shit's creek one day, when, you know, someone's harassing them or being violent towards them or they really feel unsafe, they really feel as if they're in danger, what are they going to do in that case, right? Like, what are they going to do? Like, who do they call? Because they've already said, right, that, like, the police are, you know, unnecessary. Like, you choose to be a cop, so apparently they don't want people to make that choice to be a cop. So it's like, what, who do they call? Like, social workers, are they supposed to be putting out fires? Are they supposed to stop be chasing people down the road and trying to shoot you with a bullet? Do you really want a social worker to be doing that work? Like, that is the craziness that I never understand about this entire defund the police argument and still don't to this day, even though they're not even talking about that anymore. And it just really goes to show that Democrats really only care about police brutality and all of this stuff when it is politically convenient for them to do so, when they want to whip black people into a frenzy, get them emotional, get them angry. And so they decide, oh, let's talk about police today. But of course, notice that they're not talking about that stuff anymore. Yeah, right. So exactly. But really the point of this all is that first and foremost, safe spaces are not real life. Seriously, there are no safe spaces in the real world. If you're mad that a white person is taking up space in your supposed black people, multicultural safe space, then that is literally the same argument that segregationists made in the 60s, that black people should not be taking up their precious space. It's why black people have their own fountains. It's why they had their own little part of the bar or restaurants, because white racists thought that it was inappropriate for black people to take up space. This is literally the same type of racism. This is literally black liberals saying, oh, and also white liberals. You know, white liberals are definitely enabling this argument. It was definitely probably some white liberal administrator at this university who approved this BS of this creation of this ridiculous safe space. You know, and then it's just like, this is literally just the same. This is reverse racism. And honestly, I don't even like using the term reverse racism because it's just, there's no new term necessary. Like, it's just racism. Like, this is just bullshit. Like, this is wrong. And we should be able to call balls and strikes. There's no new term that needs to be created. There's no new approach that needs to be taken towards it. This is racism. And that is that, point blank, period. Seriously, point blank, period. that is that. But if you think that's the only crazy thing happening in America on college campuses, wait until you hear this. The University of Washington, they just decided they were going to create segregated housing. We dive into that story right up next. Welcome back, guys. So this is one of those stories that when you first hear it, you're like, this can't be true. And when I first saw this, actually, a friend of mine showed this to me. It was on TikTok. One of my fraternity brothers, and he was like, CJ, look at this. And I was like, is that like real? And then we Googled it and we were like, holy shit, this is real. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm talking about the story out of Washington, where the University of Washington announced they are creating segregated student housing specifically for Black students, exclusively for Black students. This is in Western Washington University, the fourth floor of Alma Clark Glass Hall, the Daily Mail reports, has now been reserved for a program called the Black Affinity Housing Program. And so what's interesting about this is that this is actually kind of this sort of trend has actually flown a little bit under the radar, because this is actually not the first university that's done this. They actually joined American University, Stanford, UC Boulder, and Cornell in offering Black student-only housing. And, you know, basically the reason the proponents of this, you know their arguments, are saying that Black people need a safe space. Black people need their own place, free from white violence and microaggressions and blah, blah, blah. All bullshit. We all know that. But what's interesting to me is the irony that is lost upon these people. They are literally fighting for segregation. They are literally fighting for the flawed legal standard that Supreme Court cases like Plessy v. Ferguson try to uphold, that separate could be equal. The very Supreme Court precedent that folks like Thurgood Marshall, Martin Luther King Jr., the civil rights activists that fought for political and economic equality for Black people fought so hard to overturn. They're literally fighting and saying that MLK was wrong. Thurgood Marshall was wrong. The civil rights movement was wrong. And it's incredible to me. It truly is incredible to me, because it's like, number one, I'll be honest here. Most Black people, actually, let me go even further than that. The majority of Black people, far more than the wombats that support this thing, are not asking for this thing. Like, I don't know a lot of Black students. I know a lot of Black people in general are like, we want separate dorms. We want separate places. We want to be segregated again. But that's 2021, apparently, where we're fighting to go 100 steps back and never even two steps forward. And, like, this is a taxpayer-funded, like, institution. What's interesting enough is that white people are also paying for this segregated housing, this floor dedicated exclusively to Black students. White people are. Oh my God. Oh my God. Guys, we are living in clown world. I say that in almost every episode because it becomes increasingly more true with every episode that I do. We are living in clown world. Don't be fooled by it. Don't let them make you think otherwise. We are living in clown world. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. And honestly, what we need to call this is exactly what it is. It's blatant and flagrant Black supremacy, which is just as bad as white supremacy. Stop trying to divide us by the color of our skin. It is 2021. We are better than that. We are bigger than that. We should be. This is not what MLK died for. This is not what the civil rights movement was fought for. This is disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. Guys, well, I'll see you guys in the next episode right here on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are, that's where I'll be. CJ Pearson Uncensored. I'll see you guys next time. Hey guys, CJ Pearson here. Join us right here on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts for the same hard-hitting truth, because we'll never stop fighting for you right here on CJ Pearson Uncensored.
CJ Pearson Uncensored, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.